Greetings, my brothers and sisters. Indeed, that's one of my favorite hymns. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words of heavenly comfort. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, speak to us now with your words, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. For the next 2 months, the ministry team will be focusing on the theme of stewardship. I'm very excited about what these months are going to have in store for you and for me, as far as our own spiritual growth and development are concerned. And I know that for many of us, the word stewardship and stewards are not words that we commonly use today. And therefore, I want to review the definition of stewardship. A steward is a person who manages and administrates what has been entrusted to him or her by another. In this case, a steward is a person who manages what God has given to him or her. God has entrusted us with our lives, our talents, our time, and our money. And therefore, stewardship is a careful and responsible management of the things God has entrusted to our care. I want to remind us that there are two key principles related to stewardship revealed in the Bible. One is that God owns all things. Can we say God owns all things? In Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And it goes on to say, for God has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. The second thing is that every believer has the personal responsibility to manage, supervise, and administer all that God has given to him or her to the glory of God. Romans 14 verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So my brothers and sisters, today our message is on the stewardship of time. God is the author of time. And when we read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 5, the evening and the morning were the first day. The words evening, morning, and day are words that are time oriented. While God is the author of time, he is not a time bounding being. And we read in 2 Peter 3 verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We, however, are designed by the Creator to be the time-oriented being. David acknowledges this in Psalm 31, verse 5. My times are in God's hands. Can we repeat that? My times are in God's hands. Tell somebody, your time is in God's hands. And so God owns everything, our time, our talents, our resources, our wealth, and everything that we possess. Every one of us, no matter how young or old, no matter how rich or poor, no matter what part of the world you live in, all of us have the same amount of time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the months that have 31 days, we all have 31 days. In the months with 30 days, we have 30 days. And in February, we have the same number of days. And I know we are often guilty of saying, if I just had a little more time, I would do this and I would do that. Or if there were just a few more hours in the day, I would have accomplished something else. Or if I weren't busy, I could get more done. But my brothers and sisters, the truth this morning is that we all have the same amount of time each day and every minute. We all have the same amount of time. No one has more. No one has less. The question then is, how is it that we manage our time to honor God with what God has given to us? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Touch your neighbor and tell him the days are evil. Tell them, use the time to glorify God. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is for our lives. I challenge us, my brothers and sisters, to read throughout the Gospels and look for the phrase, I am tired, I am busy. There's not just enough time to do it at all. Even, and it has never crossed the lips of Jesus. I tell you what, you'll not find it. Nowhere in the Gospel accounts does Jesus use these phrases that we find so common in our speech today. Oh, I am tired. I can't be bothered. I am so busy. Busy even for the God who has created us. Which makes me ask, what did Jesus know that we don't know? What did Jesus understand about time that we don't understand? First, we might say that Jesus understood time as a gift. Say gift. Time is a gift. He was aware that time was created by God and given to humanity as a gift. And in the very story of creation, we discover that before anything existed, there was only God. But in a moment of time, God spoke, and everything that has been created came into existence as God spoke it into being. There was morning and evening the first day. There was morning and evening the second day. In the act of creation, God created time as a gift. Can you imagine if we didn't have time? We would just say to everyone, what time do you want me to come? Oh, whenever I show up, anytime. Can you imagine when you were dating? Conversations went like, what time do you want for me to come, honey? What time do you want for me to pick you up? Oh, dear, whenever. You know, we wouldn't be able to talk about time unless God has created it. We wouldn't be able to use time as a reference point unless it has been created by God. And so the first thing we need to understand is that time is a gift from God. Use it wisely. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. A second important point about time is one we tend to forget. Time is limited. Tell somebody, time is limited. Tell somebody else, time is limited. We only have so many minutes with our children to form and shape them before they leave our homes. We only have so many minutes with our parents before we move out and go on our own. We only have few minutes with our brothers and sisters, with cousins and nephews and nieces, grandparents if you are lucky, and great-grandparents to a greater extent. We only have a limited amount of time with each other. Use our time wisely to glorify God. And when we understand that, each moment becomes much, much precious, because we would realize that time is limited. Time is a gift, but time is limited. And when we grasp these two, we can understand the exhortation that Paul gives to the church in Ephesus. Since time is a gift, and because time is limited, don't waste it. Tell somebody, don't waste it. Because time is a gift, and time is limited, don't waste it. Don't do the things that don't really matter. Do what you can for God whenever you can, because a time is going to come when we want to be sitting in the congregation, but we'll not be able to do that because time will be against us. Do you want to work for Christ? Use your time to glorify God. Do what you can for Christ whenever you can. Do what you can for the Holy Spirit whenever you can, because time is a gift and time is limited. Time is precious. Sisters and brothers, Paul reminded the Ephesus church, don't let the enemy tempt you into believing that you have a lot of time, or that you can get to honoring God another day. Now is the time. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. So one day every tongue will confess that you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose Him now. You have time. Glorify God with your time. This day is what you have. Today is the present. This is a moment now. Do what you can with it to glorify God. Don't waste it. Don't lose it. Use your time to honor God. Let's be good stewards of our time as we give praise unto God. Many people today struggle with time management. For many of us, we never seem to have enough time to do everything we want to do. We feel constantly pulled in many directions at once. Others are unsure if they are spending time effectively. It seems no matter how hard we try, we never feel as though we are managing our time well. This morning, God wants to tell us about God's time management plan. Understand, brothers and sisters, that our time is God's time. Can you say, our time is God's time? Touch yourself and say, my time is God's time. And I want to glorify God with my time. My time is God's time. And if we want to honor God with our time, we have to realize that our time is not our own. Very often we sing, I'm not my own, I belong to Jesus. We have got to understand that our time is God's time, and we must use it for God's glory. Unfortunately, we too often think that our time is ours to do whatever we want to do. If we want to work, we can do that. If we want to watch television, we can do that. If we want to waste it doing nothing, we can do it. If we want to do the things we want, we can do it. If we feel like coming to church, we can do just that. Certainly, my brothers and sisters, God has given us this freedom of choice. But God teaches us through the Bible. It tells us that we belong to God. We are God's, and God owns us. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. God owns everything, and God distributes it to us according to His wisdom. Whether it is our job, our money, our abilities, our personality, even our time, it is a gift from God. And because I know we live in a very independent country, I know you might be thinking, but Pastor, I just went to the store yesterday and paid for everything with my own money. That doesn't make it mine. I own my own home, or at least the bank does. Therefore, it is mine, not God's. No sanky, no sing so. But who gave you the abilities to do a particular thing well, so you could do your job? It is God who opened the door to give you a job which brought in a good income. It is God who gave you the health to stay at the job that you have. It is God. God did it. I am not trying to put down our effort at work, but God created us for work, and it is through our hard work we get where we are. But the source of who we are and everything we have is God's. God has made us. God has made it possible by giving us the gifts we have and by opening the doors that we have that are made possible. If you are still skeptical, think of the story of a great preacher who once delivered a rousing sermon on God's ownership that frustrated a rich parishioner in the church. The wealthy man took the preacher out for lunch and then walked him through his immense land, including farm and livestock. "Now, you're going to tell me that this land does not belong to me, Pastor?" The preacher smiled and said, "Ask me the same question 100 years from now." The wealthy landowner received all he had from God as a blessing. God has given everything we have as a gift, including our time. God did not place us on earth to take up space and to waste valuable time. God's desire is that we use our time wisely according to His purpose. What do we know about time? Everyone has the same amount of time. God gives everyone the same amount of time, 24/7, 365 1/4 days. No one has more time than the other. It is the discipline and stewardship of your time that is important. While everyone has the same amount of time, the way we use our time differs. But I want to remind us, brothers and sisters, that my priorities determine how I use my time. My priorities determine how I use my time. It is our priorities which determine how we spend our time. We spend time doing the things that are important to us. If we are not spending time doing the things which are important to us, we have a problem. But in the Bible, God commanded a way to make God a priority by setting aside time in busy schedules for worship and rest. God calls us this morning here at Meadowbrook to worship Him. To worship Him with our time. To worship Him with our substance. To worship Him with all that we have, because we belong to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God made a Sabbath day because He knows our tendency is not to rest. Neither is our tendency to focus upon God. But God commanded us to schedule the time and to adjust our priorities to His priority. God created us to worship Him. Time and priorities go hand in hand. God wants our time to reflect the priorities He has given to us. In fact, my brothers and sisters, I don't think we will ever be truly satisfied with our management of time until our schedule reflects God's schedule. It is when we put our hands in the hands of the man who stills the water. It is when we put our hands in the hands of the man who calms the sea. It is when we say, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise." You see, my brothers and sisters, we cannot give to God unless we have given ourselves first to Him. Until we have given ourselves first, then giving is harder to do to God. But when we have submitted our lives, when we have given ourselves to God, giving becomes easier. We must adjust our priorities to God's priorities. In the Gospel according to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31, one of the teachers of the religious law asks, "Of all the commandments, which is most important?" And Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord." Say, "Only Lord." Touch your neighbor and tell him, "God is the only Lord." the most important commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Jesus boiled down all the commandments to two important truths. I must love God. Say, I must love God. And I must love my neighbor. Because it is easy for us to say we love God, but we don't love our neighbors. I must love God, and I must love my neighbor as myself. So these three things are God's priority. God's priorities are to love God first, and then we can love others. It is easier to love others when we love God. Notice that Jesus said we must love our neighbors as ourselves. We must love ourselves as we love others. So I'm giving them a tie for second place. Notice also that God's priorities are always relational. It is about relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves. God must take first place in our lives. Many of us realize that God should take first place in our lives. But what does that look like? How do we make God first in our lives? In the first of the great commandments, Jesus said we must love God. We place God first by loving God with our entire being, our heart and soul and mind and strength. Which brings up another question: how do we demonstrate our love to God? In Deuteronomy 10 verse 12, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires you to fear him, to live according to his will, to love and to worship him with all your heart and soul, and to obey the Lord's command and laws that I am giving you today for your own good." The church of God will see God's glory when we begin to put God first, when we begin to center our lives on Christ. For on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In John 14, verse 21, Jesus speaking, "Those who obey my commandments are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them also." We put God first by loving God. And we demonstrate that love, obeying his commands, doing what he tells us to do. And so even when God calls us to come to fasting for 6 to 12, it is giving God time and glory. We can come. Those of us who were here two Saturdays ago would agree with me that certainly the glory of God was in the sanctuary. I know I wouldn't get a loud amen on that one. But I want to say to us that we must obey God and serve God with our substance, with our time and our abilities. The church of God, Reverend Francis, will move forward when all of us are pushing in the same direction. The church of God will move forward when our spirits are ignited as one flame. But we cannot go forward if some pulling left, some pulling right, some going forward, and some going backward. Rise up, people of God, and understand it is God's time, and God wants to do a new thing here in Meadowbrook. And so it is not about us. It is not about what we have. It is not about how we come. But it's what we do that really matters. When we come to church, when we come to God's temple, do we come believing that God is there to receive us? When we come, do we come believing that where God's Spirit is, there is liberty? And so when we put our time and our energy into God's hands, God will work mightily among us. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I hear Joshua declaring today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Tell somebody, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, this is what we're going to do. As for Meadowbrook. Repeat after me. As for Meadowbrook. We will serve the Lord. As for Meadowbrook. We will serve the Lord. As for Meadowbrook. We will serve the Lord. With our time. With our talents. With our resources. Because everything that God needs to carry out God's function, it is already in the church, including the monies that you and I have. It is in God's place already. So we also demonstrate our love for God when we worship Him. And I'm coming down. But when we worship God, the Jericho walls must come down. When we worship God, healing and deliverance will begin to flow from the platform to the pews. When we worship God, angels in heaven will begin to worship with us. Because when the people worship, when we worship, when, I don't know if somebody understands where I'm going this morning. When we worship, the Jericho walls must come down, and worship has to do with our times as well. That is why I'm one of those ministers who, for me, I absorb. I put myself, whenever, not saying I don't do it other times, but when we are giving praise to God, I tend to forget about myself. And I tell people, I don't even remember that there are other people in church. Because worship is a personal relationship with God. And so when you come to church, brothers and sisters, if it is 5 minutes we have of praise and worship, put yourself in the place and in the position that when God gets ready to pour out His anointing and His power and His glory, you can receive it. Don't limit God's time. If it means that we have to come to church one Sunday and sing pure songs, that is worship. If it means that we have to come and shout hallelujah for the 2 hours, it is worship. If it means that we have to come and prostrate at the altar, it is worship. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days and let, I feel the preacher coming on. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. We demonstrate our love for God when we spend time with Him in prayer. Unfortunately, we only tend to give God 2 hours a week. Sunday morning worship only can't cut it. That cannot move the powers of the enemy. And I'm calling this church today to get back to basics. Tell somebody, get back to basics. I am calling for the church to get back to the prayer altar. I am calling for the church to be grounded and firm in our prayer life. That is the only way we will be able to trample the devil on the feet. Somebody not getting the message this morning. It is through prayer. When we spend our time in the presence of the Almighty God. For when we come into God's presence, God is there to receive us. Brothers and sisters, what we have is truly God's. Don't think we should prioritize some of our time to Him. He deserves all our time. We should be available to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And for God's sake, Pastor, I can't understand how sometimes we say we are saved and we are Christians. But when God calls us to come into His presence, we can't find the time to do it. Room for pleasure, room for business, but none for Christ the crucified. Hallelujah. Not a place that He can enter in the hearts for which He died. Sisters and brothers, how do you manage your time? We manage our time by first making God our priority. It means setting aside time on Sunday mornings to worship God. We need to give God our strength and to ask Him to use us for His service. Like I said last week at our prayer and fasting, I want to reiterate for those of us who weren't there. But I challenge our brothers and sisters, even as I challenge myself, that what the church needs to do is to begin, just as we season our meat from overnight and soak our peas and our gungo, we need to marinate our spirits that when we come to God's church on a Sunday morning, worship becomes easier. Somebody never get that. Marinate your spirits. Begin to praise God from Saturday night. Praise Him into Sunday morning. That when you come into church, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, breaks and destroys every yoke. That is worship. It means glorifying God with our time, our talents, and our resources. I want to leave three things with you. Actions. Action items for this week. And I think they are on the slide. Calculate how much time I actually spend with those who are priority in my life. God, others, and self. Calculate how much I spend on the other things other than work, chores, or other requirements. Examples of free time include watching television, reading the newspaper, surfing the internet. I am not saying that these things can't be done, but some of the time we spend on the internet and some of the time we spend surfing the net and reading the paper, we need to go into God's word. Amen, somebody. We need to get back into God's word. You may be surprised by how actually you spend your time. If your time does not match your priorities, schedule an extra hour are a week for those who are priority in your life. But do not get the time. Call, email, or write a note to those persons who live a distant way. Spend that extra time in prayer. Get away by yourself to re-energize yourself and to get back to basic as you use your time to glorify God. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Use the time wisely, for the days are evil. Now to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.